Our reading today comes from Daniel chapter 2, and I'm going to hand over to a very special Daniel who's going to share with us this morning before we head over to Tim, who is today in church.
In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. And the astrologers answered the king, May the king live forever. Tell your servants that dream, and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will cut you to pieces and your houses turn into rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards of great honour. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more they replied, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it. And then the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain me, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have been conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping that the situation will change. So then tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked for such of a thing of a magician or enchanter or astrologer. That the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. The men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends and put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, Why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. And then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon during the night, and mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised God of heaven and said, Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. Changing times and seasons, he deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the disconcerting. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells within him. I thank you and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what was asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king.
So thank you very much, Daniel, for continuing this incredible story. And if you've got your Bibles or you've got your phone switched on with the Bible app, then please do just keep that on at Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to dig in a little bit to that today. Last week, great to have a conversation with James and Tom about Daniel chapter 1. And I hope that gave you a little bit of a background to the story, a little bit of insight, and also a little few weeks as we continue this journey. You remember from last week, if you connected with us, that Daniel and his friends have been taken into exile in Babylon. Court, they'd been taught, learn new languages, were going to be given some meat and wine, but then they said, no, we are going to eat vegetables and water to see what happens to us. And at the end of that diet, they turned out to be better looking and fitter than everybody else. And so Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, with their new names, became really the stars of the king's court. And God had put them in that place for a purpose. And as we go through this story, we'll see some of that purpose being worked out. But now in Daniel chapter 2, a lot's been happening in this story. If you go back to 2 Kings chapter 24 and 25, you'll see a little bit of the story leading up to what had happened. Three times King Nebuchadnezzar had gone into Jerusalem. He'd put kings in place that he hoped were going to be loyal to him, but they rebelled against him. And eventually, the third time, he'd had enough of the whole lot. And so he destroyed the walls, he destroyed the temple, he burnt all the homes and the palaces. There was hardly anything left of Jerusalem at that time. He'd got very angry about what had happened, and so took it all upon himself to make sure that there was no survivor from that particular city. He brought lots of them to Babylon as well to be helpers in his own fight for supremacy and the building of his own empire. There was a lot of anger going on, and this morning I want us to think about anger. It may seem a little bit of a strange thing to talk about from Daniel 2, but I hope that you'll see where this goes, and we'll see how anger can actually be used for some good. And perhaps during this period of time in particular, you maybe have noticed that anger has been rising, anger over many different things. And in this story, you'll see that God was angry, that the king was angry, and I think I can understand that Daniel would be angry as well. So I want to talk about anger, I want to talk about action, and I want to talk about the kingdom of God. So what makes you angry? Maybe when you feel threatened or attacked, maybe when you're frustrated or feel powerless to do anything, maybe when you're being invalidated and treated unfairly yourself, or maybe when people are not respecting your feelings or your possessions. And what do you do when you feel angry? Of course, the classic is the fight, flight or freeze response, isn't it? We either confront it and we deal with it, or we run away from it, or we feel like freezing. There's nothing we can do about it at all. But what if anger could become maybe our superpower, a holy force for good in itself? Maybe during this lockdown time, maybe you've noticed that your anger response has been heightened. Perhaps you've got angry with God at times. You know, why is this happening? Why is it happening to me? How long is it going to go on for? Maybe anger towards yourself. You've become disappointed or frustrated with your own responses or not doing anything that you felt you should do. Or maybe that anger has been geared towards others as well. See, anger can be destructive, but I think it has the potential to be constructive as well. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1, we read that the king had dreams. His mind was troubled. He couldn't sleep. Perhaps that's something you've experienced recently as well. I was reading a report that said that there's been a massive increase in people dreaming during this coronavirus period. And historically, when there has been difficult times in a nation or in people's lives, dreams do seem to increase when there's intense challenges and changes. But the king is definitely angry in this. He's had a dream, and perhaps unfairly, he expects his magicians, his enchanters, his astrologers and his sorcerers to not only tell him what the dream meant, but also to tell him exactly what the dream was. Now that is a tough call, isn't it? But of course he's the king, and he can be as unfair as he wants to be. And the tension rises, and we get to verse 5, and the king says, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble, unless you can tell me what this dream was and what it means." And in verse 12, it says, "This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon," which of course now included Daniel and his three best friends. So what's Daniel feeling? Jerusalem's gone. He's in exile. He's lost everything. The previous generation have made a mess of everything and he's ended up in that strange land. Perhaps he's feeling why he didn't do something to stop it from happening anyway in the first place. Or perhaps why no one listened to the prophet's warnings that this was going to happen. He is definitely angry. I wonder what makes you angry. Whether you've been angry. Perhaps you've been angry with your kids or your boss or another car driver, or after 30 minutes of holding on to the customer care phone line listening to Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata again, or when your team's lost, or when other people have disregarded the 2 meter social distancing, or maybe right at the beginning of this you were angry that the toilet rolls have run out. There's so many things that could make us angry. God's angry. The king's angry. Daniel's angry. But what could we learn about how that anger could be channeled? See, Daniel's anger doesn't cause him any sleepless nights or bad dreams or flying off the handle at others. Daniel used his anger not to be destructive, but to be productive. And I wonder if we could use our anger to drive us into action. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26 says, "In your anger, do not sin." Instead, why not use it to do something? See, and Daniel takes his anger to God. In Daniel chapter 2 verse 14, we read, "Daniel spoke to Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, with wisdom and tact." Wow. Imagine when you're angry, being able to speak with wisdom and tact. When was the last time your anger led you to wisdom and tact? Anger generally leads to rage, perhaps even swearing, perhaps to tears, perhaps to isolation. But Daniel went into the king and asked for time. I mean, this is such a considered response from such a young man, isn't it? But of course, what we found out last week was that God was going to use him for something amazing. And Daniel was going to be in a place where God was going to take him to transform the nation, to reset the nation's history. He went into the king and asked for time. Who thought anger could be used like that? What if that could happen to you and to me every time we got angry? Sometimes, of course, we get mad with God, and the Bible has those moments. But more often, the Bible writers practice radical responsibility. We read things like, "We did this. We deserve the punishment. We have to live with the consequences of past mistakes." And I think that is what Daniel can teach us here. He hasn't suppressed his anger about the past or the present. He's going to do something about it. And his faith in God gives him the answer to what perhaps he can't even make sense of. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17, we read this. "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery about the dream, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." He took radical responsibility for what was happening, even if he didn't feel it was his fault. He could blame God, which often leads to us ignoring God's solution anyway. He could blame previous generations for the fine mess they'd got them into. Or he could wallow in it himself. But he didn't. He used his anger to advance God's cause. He took responsibility. He got others involved and turned his attention to the provider. Look at verse 20 of Daniel 2. Daniel praised the God of heaven. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He only knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. See, when anger gets turned into action, then God's purposes can be worked out. The king's anger is just set on destruction, but Daniel's anger is going to build and build something significant. So anger is very real, but we can turn anger into action, and you can use your actions to build the kingdom. See, Daniel gives honour to God as the revealer of mysteries, doing what everyone knew was impossible, to tell the king what his dream was and what it meant. There is a God in heaven, Daniel says, and I will tell you the dream and what it means. And the king responds in a way that indicates he believed it was true. As you read on in Daniel chapter 2, we see what the dream was and what the interpretation was. And here was this dream of this large statue made out of different materials. And here was a glimpse of empire being built on empire after empire. But the dream also said that these empires are going to be toppled. And in the text it says they're going to be toppled by a rock, not cut out by human hands. But that rock destroyed the statue completely. Of course, this rock is the kingdom set up by God. This is the kingdom set up by God that will last forever and never be destroyed, that will crush all other kingdoms. And it was there all the time, bigger than the statue, with the answer, God's answer to this dream. It always has been there, it always will be, and it is greater than any other empire. Imagine Daniel understanding that promise and allowing his anger to turn into an action that would see the kingdom being built. See, God's anger will destroy all that is not of his doing. He'll throw the ultimate stone, the rock. He'll throw it at injustice. He'll throw it at power that abuses and destroys. He'll throw it at actions that do harm to his creation. And all who will stand with him, to those made in his image, he expects them to throw stones, to topple wrongdoing, to fight injustice, to demand equality, that anything that separates and marginalises and demeans and discriminates is challenged head on, so that the kingdom will come in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our nation and in our world. Psalm 61, the psalmist picks up this theme as well. In verses 1 and 2, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lift me above this place of anger that leads to destruction, and help me to see the rock that ultimately will prevail. God has given us the emotion of anger for a reason. In 1 John 3 verse 8 we read, "The Son of God, Jesus, came to destroy the works of the devil." So is Daniel resigned to his fate, just accepting the inevitable control of the king and the changed circumstances? No, he gets on and makes a difference. He didn't rebel, but he resolved to do what God called him to do. He didn't let his anger destroy him. He directed it to action, trusting in the God who, as Daniel 2 reminds us, changes times and seasons, who deposes kings, who reveals deep and hidden things, a God whose intention it is to build his kingdom one life at a time. So we can let anger show us what's wrong, but we can also let anger lead us to action, to start a deeper reliance on God. It's almost like a gift from God, not a reason to be mad at God, but a gift that helps us change this world. Daniel 2:46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honour and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. What a turnaround. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. And then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego chief ministers over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Wow. Anger that drives us to action becomes a kingdom builder. It topples empires. It makes room for the world to be made new, to look a little bit more like the kingdom that God intends. God can do even more in you and with you and through you, because as 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 2 says, there is no rock like our God. So today, is there a stronghold or an empire that's controlling your life and you're feeling defeated by it? Maybe you're angry with yourself. Well, let the rock, let it destroy what's causing that anger rather than letting it destroy you. There is a rock that is higher than you. And today, maybe there's an issue that's making you mad and angry. Maybe it's the ongoing challenges of racism or discrimination, unfair treatment of our young people, inequality, climate change, whatever it is, anything that is getting in the way of God's kingdom coming. Will you allow God to turn your anger into action with tact and wisdom? And wisdom is something you can ask for. Maybe today you'll hand over your life, your body, mind and soul, your emotions, your hopes, your ambitions to the one who stands forever. To stop building your life on clay, but trust God and the future. Trust him with what's ever happened in the past, the things that you've built your life on that have fallen, that have been damaged and destroyed. You don't need to feel captive or a long way from home. Maybe you need healing. So let's bring God's kingdom in, shall we? Let God do his work. Let him reveal the mysteries. Let him change the times and the seasons in your life today to give you wisdom, to shine a light into the darkness, to make you strong. Perhaps today your prayer will be the prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 18. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my saviour. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me and my place of safety. We are strangers in a strange land, but we can trust the God we serve. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's a mighty God, the God of gods, the Lord of kings, the revealer of mysteries. So God, your kingdom come and your will be done in my life and in our world today. Take me and use me, all of me, all I am and all I have, for your glory and for your kingdom. Amen.